The Waffle House lay on Victory Drive, close by Commando Military Supply and the gates to Fort Benning, the 280-square-mile base where the Army made soldiers into Rangers. John Wells remembered the restaurant from his own training, more than 2 decades before. Back then, he'd still basically been a Montana boy. He'd come to Dartmouth for college, been shocked by the superior attitude so many East Coast kids put on. But Georgia had held its own surprises. At least Montana and New Hampshire both had mountains, even if the bitter roots were bigger. Down here, the land was slap flat and swamp cut. Anyway, as far as Wells could tell, the Waffle House hadn't changed. Not the waitresses, not the plastic booths, maybe not the fryer grease. The ranger instructors eating one booth over looked the same, too. Square-jawed and narrow-eyed, mostly white, maybe a few more tattoos. They shoveled scrambled eggs in their mouths like they were machines for the ingestion of food. Cut, chew, swallow. Cut, chew, swallow. Wash it all down with the black liquid that Waffle House called coffee. They were almost too tired to speak, Wells saw. Though not as tired as the soldiers they were training. Nothing in peacetime replicated combat, but Ranger School tried. Rangers lead the way, the unit's motto went. The training program was meant to weed out any soldier who couldn't. It was famously tough, especially at the beginning. Candidates were deprived of sleep and food while facing timed marches, and the Derby Queen, a barbed wire-studded obstacle course. Soldiers qualified through airborne training and a 4-week starter course before they even had a chance at Fort Benning. Still, about 60% failed. Many who did pass had to repeat at least one part of the 3-phase program. Not Wells. He'd gone through in the minimum 62 days. He was made for soldiering. Not just because he was strong and lean and quick, because he knew intuitively how to survive, to narrow his focus, not to think ahead, not to promise himself that he'd get through this day or week, but simply to get through. A most un-Buddhist form of mindfulness. So Wells went from Dartmouth to the Rangers to the Central Intelligence Agency, Langley to the Hindu Kush, the Kush back to the United States. Only the start of his travels. 2 decades of spying and fighting, killing, and not quite dying. He'd resigned from the agency, but discovered he needed it as much as it seemed to need him. He'd become a Muslim, too, finding comfort of sorts in a faith not his own. And why not? All faiths were foreign in the end. Walks through dark woods. Had he changed? He supposed he must have. From the start, he'd been unafraid to kill, to take what he could never give back. Yet his dreams troubled him more than they once had. "Need anything?" The waitress's smoke-roughened voice, meaning you've been sitting in this booth a while, time to order more or move on. Hungry soldiers waited by the door. Wells hadn't wool-gathered this way 20 years ago, that he knew. "Scrambled eggs with cheese, triple order hash browns."
"Triple coming up."
She offered him a broke-down smile and turned away. The United States had 2,000 Waffle Houses, not one in the Northeast or on the West Coast. Places for working people who needed quick food cheap and cheap food quick. The eggs were iffy, but the hash browns were delicious, as long as Wells didn't think about what they were doing to his arteries. He was waiting for his son, Evan. Though Evan didn't think of Wells as his father, another man had raised the boy while Wells snaked the world's drains. Yet Evan, a grown man now, had decided to become a ranger. Wells wasn't quite sure why. He was proud, but he feared Evan didn't understand the choice he'd made. Evan had been one of the first weak Fort Benning failures. Not his fault. He'd blown his Achilles tendon 11 miles into the 12-mile road march, the week's concluding exercise. 12 miles didn't sound like much, except the candidates carried close to 100 pounds of gear. Because Evan had failed for medical reasons, he could rehab here while he waited for another chance, if he wanted. He'd called Wells the day before, 2 days after the injury, asked him to come to Georgia. Pep talk? Something like that.